What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is my privilege, and it is oh so timely, to be joined by our next guest, Professor of History and Italian Studies at New York University, Ruth Ben-Ghiat. Welcome, Professor. Thank you so much for making time. You are basically an expert in fascism and authoritarianism, as well as propaganda and democracy protection. Given the choice that is on the ballot in November, I really appreciate you sharing your expertise with all of us here. Thank you for being here.
Sure, it's a pleasure.
Your latest book is called Strongmen, Mussolini to the Present. And I want to begin. Donald Trump just finished a press conference not too long ago. He was in L.A. And during the press conference, he spoke about migrants. A reporter asked him about the bomb threats that today closed the City Hall of Springfield, Missouri, two schools, and Springfield's DMV. The bomb threats that were phoned into these places referenced migrants. This is, of course, after Donald Trump and J.D. Vance amplified and continue to discuss just sickening racist tropes about folks that are in Springfield, Missouri, legally from Haiti, who've helped revive that economy. The specific language that Donald Trump used this afternoon, Professor, was nests, that immigrants are in nests. And he again referenced mass deportations. He moved right from the question about these bomb threats being called in to an affirmation of his mass deportation policy. Professor, as I listened to the former MAGA president, and as I have many times, his rhetoric sounds like Nazi Germany. The tools that he plans to deploy seem to me to be a step towards fascism and authoritarianism. You wrote an opinion piece for the LA Times just a few months back where you questioned whether Donald Trump would actually, if elected, stop free and fair elections. As an expert in authoritarianism and fascism, how concerned should we be? How far along this pathway, this sliding back away from democracy and towards authoritarianism, have we gotten?
Yeah, it's very disturbing to hear speeches like that, because Donald Trump, there's a very good reason he's constantly praising the worst murderist leaders of our day, from Putin to Xi Jinping to the leader of North Korea. Those are the people he is holding up as role models. He wants to be a dictator. He says he's going to be a dictator. And one of the things dictators do, and you're right, this language is, he calls migrants vermin, people who have to be rooted out. Now he's used the word nests. So all of this dehumanizing language goes straight back to fascism. Mm. And you select one group to be particularly dehumanized, but there's always other groups who follow, right? And once you create the infrastructure of camps and talk about deporting, you know, one group, those camps and those internment centers or whatever they are in each case are used for other groups. It's very, very dangerous. He already did huge damage to our democracy when he was in the White House. And this is just like an acceleration and a kind of becoming more and more extreme in view of the election. And I'm very concerned.
As I am, I share that concern. Let's talk about the sort of process and the pieces of government that fascists have to control in order to effectively assert their will and maintain power. And one of the things that I've heard people expressing continuing and accelerating anxiety over is Trump's desire to get rid of civil servants and to basically require loyalty tests for anyone that works at a high level of federal government, and what that could mean, especially for the military. Is this something that is just rhetoric from the left, Professor? Or is language like that saying, you know, I deserve to have people that are loyal to me in these positions of power throughout federal government to demand loyalty of members of the military. This is not a hypothetical, is it? I mean, this is the literal playbook of fascists and dictators, is it not?
Yeah, and he also partly did this to certain, like the EPA, which because of his alliance with plunderers of the environment was a target while he was already president. He already kicked a lot of people out and found ways to get rid of them. So this, what you're referring to, the concept is called autocratic capture. And it's done by all authoritarians. Today, Viktor Orban, who's the hero of the GOP, and at the debate, Trump even like referenced Viktor Orban, who likes him as though it's a good thing. You know, Hungary was just ranked the most corrupt country in the EU. And so you see how that goes very well with Donald Trump's aims. But autocratic capture is when you literally, almost like pirates, you take over. It's like a hostile takeover of government institutions, the civil service. You get rid of anybody who's not loyal to you. And you hire people based not on their expertise or professionalism, because you don't want them to have ethics, because you're not about the rule of law, you're the opposite. And you end up with these people who will just rubber stamp things you want to do, who have no ethics, but they're loyal to you and to the party and to the cronies. And you do this to the judiciary, you do this to the election machinery, to all the government institutions. And that way you have like a coherent strategy for doing even the most heinous things. And you're, so what he's doing with that, and this is also Project 2025, this kind of purging and recreating of government. And it goes back to fascism. The first person who did this was Mussolini. And a lot of, I went back to the sets of laws that were passed or right after Mussolini declared dictatorship, and a lot of them are similar to what Project 2025 wants to do.
I mean, as I was reading Project 2025, and I was fortunate enough to have a period of time in my education where I was studying authoritarianism and fascism, and that's what jumped off the page to me in incredible, sharp relief. We actually have the sound of Trump talking about Nest. Let's take it very briefly, because I want to ask you, like, what does this end up looking like for people on the ground? Like, what is this slow march? What are the compromises in individuals' ethics that will be made each time we take another step towards fascism or moving away from democracy? Let's take a listen to the Nest sound very briefly. Again, folks, my very special guest this half hour is Ruth Ben-Ghiat. She's a professor at NYU. She's an expert on fascism and authoritarianism. This is the former MAGA president just moments ago in L.A.
Go there. I can say this. We will do large deportations from Springfield, Ohio. Large deportations. We're going to get these people out. We're bringing them back to Venezuela. You know, he told Biden he's not accepting anybody back. They moved all their criminals, not all of them, but the rest are moving in now. They emptied their jails in Venezuela, emptied their criminals, emptied their nests. They call them nests of bad people. They're all now in the United States, and they're now taking over cities. It's like an invasion from within. And we're going to have the largest deportation in the history of our country. And we're going to start with Springfield and Aurora.
It's hard to listen to it. I had to listen to it live. Listening to it again is equally disgusting. But you talk about how they start with one group, that perhaps there's some appeal, right, to vilify, right? That's had traction for many on the far right. But the groups that this is expanding to, you know, the question of who's next, the LGBTQIA community. Oh, that happened under Hitler's Nazi Germany, right? Women who exercise reproductive rights, right? Political enemies, donors who have donated to the opposing candidates, prosecutors, the very people who operate in the justice system. What are the compromises? And by that, I mean the trading away of your basic ethical beliefs. This doesn't happen like a light switch, does it, Professor? This happens in a process, in this sort of slow erosion that we are seeing. What do people in our everyday lives need to be looking out for?
So I address this in, I actually added a corruption chapter to my book, which was the first book to look at Donald Trump in historical perspective. He's in the book. And I looked at how corruption's like a contagion. And you have to have unscrupulous people in the government to allow for a kind of collapse of ethics. Mm. And that started in Trump 1.0, so many people disobeying the Hatch Act. Yeah. They revised the application for the civil service so you didn't have to disclose as many things. Of course, you had numerous, you know, unscrupulous people, Jared Kushner, that whole, like, hiring your family. That's a classic autocratic thing because they conceal your corruption. So what it looks like is ultimately, you know, authoritarianism asks you to betray each other. And Trump has been conditioning, this is one of the scariest things. He's been conditioning Americans not only to see murderous dictators as positive, like I said before, but he's been conditioning the average American to see violence differently, to see it as something that might be necessary, and also to see his self-dealing and corruption in a different light. And so the GOP has become a party that that celebrates criminals, that's full of criminals, actually. And that's why the January 6th thugs who have been prosecuted, Trump is calling them patriots. Yeah. Trump is calling them political prisoners. So that in authoritarianism, who is a patriot and who is a criminal? That relationship changes because I always say that authoritarianism is about transforming the rule of law into rule by the lawless. And when you have, as the nominee of the party, a convicted felon, and you have numerous people flowing into the party and being pardoned, all authoritarians pardon criminals, because why should people who are useful be sitting in jail or have charges over their head when they could be useful? Because those are exactly the kind of people you need.
Yes.
So it's a process, and you can, if you want to see if a party's becoming autocratic, you look at things like that.
Well, and they're checking all of these boxes, right? Where you pardon the criminals. It's not rule by law or the rule of law. It's rule by the lawless. A convicted felon as the candidate, corruption becomes the norm. Criminality and violence is excused, now even embraced. Overtly racist rhetoric and policies, the otherizing of enemies, the broadening of that circle, all of these boxes getting checked and checked and yet checked again. And you call it conditioning. I think that's really, really critical because, again, I don't know any conservative friends of mine who would have, if I asked them if they would embrace all these things 10 years ago, would have been like, oh, yes, I'm absolutely for that. I'll vote for someone who's a convicted felon for president. Mm-hmm. But it's the conditioning that's happening. We're going to have more with my very special guest, Ruth Ben-Ghiat. She's a professor of history and Italian studies at NYU, but she is an absolute national expert on fascism and authoritarianism. Her 2020 book is called Strongmen: Mussolini to the Present. Our discussion continues. Just a couple of quick fact checks. First of all, it was Springfield, Ohio, not Missouri. My mistake. These immigrants and migrants that are in Springfield, they're not from Venezuela. They're from Haiti. And the vast majority of them are there legally and have been there for a while. Folks, we'll be right back. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no, other than day one.